So there was this couple who never spoke with each other for 3 months straight. I casually asked him, how do I look? And he said, I look like a buffalo. And the husband would say, I was joking. I joke around every time. And she knows that I joke around. Why is this taken?
Yeah.
In particular, why is this hurting her?
Welcome everyone to another exciting episode and a brand new season of Indecent Behavior.
I've got Sheila Patula, who is a clinical psychologist, going to talk about couples therapy, which I think is a great topic to discuss. And I think a lot of people wanted to know more about it. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
If you could explain what you do and why does somebody come to you?
I will throw light on what actually happens in the clinical setup. Yes. So usually what happens is who basically needs it and who seek for it is couples who have conflict. When I say conflict, there are conflicts that do not resolve. There are conflicts that pent up. Mm. There are conflicts that change behavioral patterns of the individuals in a couple. Mm-hmm. And these are simultaneously, subconsciously acting in different situations. Whereas one situation is affecting simultaneously in a lot of other situations. So when I have a chat with, let's say, any couple, they sit down and they say, you know, that day he just, I casually asked him, how do I look? And he said, I look like a buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And the husband would say, I was joking. I joke around every time.
Right.
And she knows that I joke around.
Mm.
Why is this taken? In particular, why is this hurting her?
Right.
If you dig back, it's taken a lot more, you know, other experiences that she's had or some other people talking to her about her physique or, you know, anything. And she doesn't expect it from her husband.
Right.
It can happen vice versa. And let me put it out there. We are not going to talk only about traditional couples. We're talking about same-sex couple.
Very, very important.
Two people in a relationship, this is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I say conflict, it is anything that cannot be resolved by these two people. Most of them, they try and resolve.
Mm.
Right.
But when you need some sort of intervention when it comes to, let's say they often tend to talk to parents and, you know, I'm not feeling good or... Certain things when you feel that they're going out of hand.
Yeah.
You feel it. Probably your husband's walking into the bedroom after you sleeping. Both are not walking in together. Mm-hmm. He's probably watching TV and then comes in after you sleep, checks whether you sleep and then walks in. Or she does the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This is going off track. So what is it that this impending doom that's happening for them as a couple, why are they not able to resolve it? That's when I think you need to, you know, even before you realize or reach to that particular point.
Yeah.
I think you need to figure out, okay, this is going to trigger in so many levels. This is important. I need to go and seek a therapist. That's where I think, you know, this therapy sort of a thing is important.
Okay. From what you said earlier about people going to their family, seek help first or ask them how to deal with this. Many a times I think people go to friends.
Yeah.
And advice might not be the right advice because I don't think discussing that with a friend might understand. They might understand our relationship.
In a very biased manner as well, I think,
right?
How do you know what is right advice or who to go to, who not to go to? Or, I mean, I'm sure it's very subjective, but what is your thought on this?
What we look at as a clinical practitioner is what backgrounds you're coming with.
Mm-hmm.
How are your parents or how are, you know, each of your parents, how are they as a couple? What have you been watching as when you were growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is being a couple?
Right.
Mm.
Because when this person comes or either one of them come with different, you know, sort of backgrounds and you are creating your own home and if it's chaotic, you wonder, okay, what's happening? So obviously that's when you tend to reach out to a friend or, you know, family. And this is where your question's coming up, Nitin. So when you ask me, is it all right to go or how do I, you know, sort of... know which is right and which one is wrong or how do I know it? Basically, that's the thing. So the thing is when we see a couple for the first time, we are listening both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm meeting y'all as a couple for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to a friend, they have been seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
They have an emotional, you know, attachment
mm-hmm.
somewhere. So let's assume that you and I are friends. And you and I are sharing, you know, about our married life and we're talking about it. And when I am talking about my husband, you sort of feel what he is going through. And you tell, you know what, you shouldn't have done that. You could just go ahead. But I'll be like, listen, you are my friend, dude.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't be talking for him. You should be talking for me. So these things often come up. And these things often come up from that emotional bonding that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong. It is not wrong. Because clearly when we see, we are looking at some sort of validation. You know, so I'm coming to you and when I seek Nitin's help, I'm looking at Nitin, you have to speak for me.
Yeah.
I want to know if I am right.
Just want somebody to sort of tell you you're right.
Exactly.
You're not the one who's
making
the mistakes.
So that is something that, you know, we will always seek. We're going with an end goal.
Yeah.
And if you don't tell me that I am right or you don't tell me I am right, we start having a conflict. Now, this is my perception, all right? I'm talking about when I, as a person going through something in, you know, with my partner, I'm coming to you. Now, from friend's perspective, all right?
Yeah.
They might be projecting. When I say projection, you have already gone through a situation. You are putting your, you know, yourself in that particular person's
mm-hmm.
and you are answering me from not that person's perspective, but your perspective, like what you couldn't answer in your relationship, you are answering it with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You understand
yeah.
that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're not only damaging your own, you know, mental status at that point of time, you're also giving certain thoughts to this particular person. So there's a small chance of a chaos when you get back home, when she gets back home, or when you get back and when I get back. There is a chance of a chaos because that keeps running in our head. So when you go to a clinical psychologist, what happens is we listen to both parties non-judgmentally. I'm not judging you because I don't know you from Adam. Yes, I don't know you. So I am listening to you. I am listening to him. And I ask you separately what kind of backgrounds that y'all are coming from. Where is this thought coming into picture? So there is a clinical, let's say, flowchart that happens.
Right.
When we are actually listening and dissecting the whole thing.
Mm.
There is a flowchart that we have that we go through. Okay, this is what he's coming with. This is, so this is exactly where... And that problem could be communication, that problem could be expectations, that problem could be any important values, morals.
Don't align.
Yeah, for her, probably for me or for, you know, Divya, it's like we are okay sitting and talking till 10 o'clock, let's say, if I'm visiting y'all and we are okay talking. But you might be coming up, you know, from a family background where mom and dad was very strict and you have to go to bed by 8:39.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see people sitting at 10 o'clock.
Right.
Why don't we all sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Small things, but it's going to pile up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these things are these factors are not looked at when you speak to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So a psychologist is looking into these things or these factors, the small minute things. And we will question, why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do it?
Mm.
And when I ask you, you're not going to react the way you reacted with your friend.
True.
Yeah.
You understand? Because you know that you are going to an expert who's going to give you a valid solution or at least guide you to a place where you will find the solution. That's about it. That's the difference between going to a psychologist, clinical psychologist, or going to a friend.
Mm.
I'm not saying it's going to be chaotic if you go to a friend, but certain topics, I think it's better to be discussed with friends and certain topics to be discussed with, you know, getting help.
Mm-hmm.
And going to therapy is not bad.
Yeah, I think that generally we've been trying to sort of do this to break that stigma of therapy is not bad. Like, it's good for you if you need it. Like,
it is good.
It's for your well-being at the end of it. And for the people around you as well. If you are fine mentally and stable, I think as much as it's for yourself, it's for the people around you.
Absolutely, Divya. You've just put it so rightly, because I've had, interns coming to me and telling, ma'am, but we are not able to, convince people to come to therapy. I said, you don't have to convince. Mm. If they want it, they will walk in, because they must know the therapy is good. And how will they know it? Only when they walk in, only when they know, only when they see the difference that's happening in their life, that's when they realize, oh my God, this is actually so good.
Mm.
Being a therapist, when you're conveying a message, it's often taken in a broader perspective.
Mm.
It's not narrow.
Mm.
I'm not looking at, okay, Divya's doing this, or Sheila's doing this, or Nitin's doing this, so this is happening.
Mm.
So this is what happens in therapy. And therapy is good. Therapy is so relaxing. Therapy is fun.
I'm glad you said fun, because people take it so seriously and people feel like it's just a place. Again, I think a lot of it is influenced by the movies you watch, unfortunately. You just go and see people sulking or like bickering, Very rarely are you given the perception, or very rarely do people even say that they went for a session and it was fun. Again, it's because people don't even talk about them having been to the session.
Yeah.
So I think people need to understand that it's uplifting.
It's fun. Uplifting. It's uplifting. Yes, of course it's uplifting. The thing is that when you go to therapy, you not only change as a person, there are three criteria that will change: emotionally, mentally, and behaviorally. All right. These three factors, you will see such a drastic change. And the change is always good, right? Change is good.
Change is good. Change is great.
Yeah, change is great. And why not give it a shot? I don't understand why nobody wants to, go for therapy. Because when you see yourself growing and you are the only person stopping it from growing, I think you have to give it a last resort or first resort. But take it.
At some point, at least.
Take it at some point. Take that leap and they will never, regret it.
That's so true. There's actually, it's not like a serious risk to take. Like when people think about doing it, I don't understand now that I'm thinking about it. Why are people so hesitant? Yeah. Like the only risk is the amount it might cost you. Because again, I think on the previous conversation, I remember us discussing how being able to go to therapy is a privilege.
Yes.
And I think that's important. But I think nowadays, I think it's a lot more accessible.
It's a lot more accessible. And also, it's not just about the money now. It's also about being open, Let's say a couple who, this is just an example. I'm not going to reveal names or anything. But a couple who walked in and said, we are unhappy.
Okay.
And obviously, we sort of listen to each person, and I said, okay, so what is happening? Like, what is the problem? They will be hesitant initially. I mean, any couple would be, right? Any couple would be. I mean, you're taking your problems to outside the bedroom.
Somebody just met.
And the goblin's so conditioned that you don't do that.
And I don't know you. How would I talk to you about things that happen between my wife and I? And these are sensitive issues. And I don't think any friend or any family would understand this.
Yeah.
And hence you need to seek a person who is, validating this particular fact, knows, acknowledges this fact that, yes, you know what? I understand. This is a safe space. Go ahead and speak. So the guy was, this couple that I was seeing, the guy was very hesitant in opening up and saying that he preferred a same sex. And that is a trauma that he's been going through, unable to say to his wife. And at the end of the session, I'm telling you, I think we've had about six, not even 10, six sessions. Ideally, things minimum would probably be about 10 sessions.
Okay.
In the sixth session, the girl very, openly, she said, you know what, ma'am, I'm happy we came here, and I wish him the best life.
Yeah.
I wish him the best life. And I don't care if his parents blame me for not being with him. But I know what a great guy he is. As a person, he's a great guy. And at that moment, when I'm sitting this side of the table, I could see these two people
finally,
accepting themselves.
Yeah.
The differences that they came with were simple, small reasons that they had, to connect. Everything just broke down. And they just blended. They were like, you know what? We can always be friends. I'm always there for you and you can always be there for me. And so that's the most beautiful thing that will happen in therapy, and nobody will understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I think it is important for the couple to experience that feeling, you know, in private.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't experience that feeling with friends or family around.
For sure. There's always that overlying judgment, regardless of how close that family members or that.
And also Indian parenting, Indian, you know, mindset. Because if, you know, let's say my father or my mother had to see my husband and I, they'll be like, oh, but why do you all have to go on dates?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never been on dates.
That's so
it's very common.
Yeah.
They're like, but why? Who's going to take care of your child? Like, you know, you should stick around home. You should be home.
Yeah.
Just
these things, and they have a way of convincing you
and guilting you into feeling like if you do these things, you're a less responsible person, less responsible parent, less responsible like human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they don't. What the difference is the era that we're living in back then, and the work culture they had, and the work culture that we have, the hustle and bustle right now that we have with the responsibilities. They want a child from us. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But they want, you know, everything.
Yeah.
We can't provide everything and run a home for ourselves and
try to be happy between all of these responsibilities.
Talk about it,
right?
Why will couples not have any issues?
That's for another episode again. So when we're talking about all of this, we are predominantly talking about couples who are married and things like that. How important is it for couples who aren't married yet? So premarital therapy, is that something that you've been seeing as well? Do you see younger couples, older couples who aren't married yet coming into you prior to deciding to take that plunge?
So I haven't, come across many, but I did come across. That is only when they are very seriously, you know, willing to get married.
Mm.
When they know that, yes, I want this person and I want to know what I'm getting into.
Mm.
There is a lot of difference when you are dating a person and when you're marrying.
Exactly why I ask if this is something, you know, that could help them make that decision.
Yes. Mm. So what therapy does is it gives you or throws light into that sort of, I can't use very clinical words, but that side of the brain where it triggers you to think, oh my God, I'm going to marry this guy. And I don't know this about him.
Yeah.
Why didn't I know this about? We've dated like, so
yes.
I've had these arguments in the room. We've dated for 3 years. Why didn't you tell me this?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you tell me that you don't like a black shirt when I have been giving you a black shirt? And I'm like, oh, okay. You know? So simple things, small things. But this, maybe after getting married, he might say, you know what? I don't like black shirt. And she's going to be devastated. Imagine she will think, oh my God, I have no place to go. I need to bang my head to the wall. These are the things that I've heard. These lines I've heard from, you know, my patients. So they're like, what do I do? So coming back to your question, it is a good step to go for a premarital therapy sessions. It's good to have, you know, a sort of insight into what you are getting into. It's good to go for therapy, to know your partner in a very deeper level.
Mm. Mm.
There are three factors. When I say, you know, in this particular area, especially before you get married and you are seeking to get married, there are three factors that you always must keep in mind. Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
What are your expectations? What are his expectations? Mm-hmm. It's somewhere thought that only women come with expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Men come with expectations. Why can't we acknowledge their feelings?
Mm-hmm.
We must acknowledge their feelings. As a woman, we cannot think only about ourselves. When we are getting married, it's not like, yeah, he will take care of me.
Mm.
This sort of an attitude that every woman has, it's annoying to, you know, that the guy who's going to marry you.
Yeah.
How can you just tell? Yeah. You get my point? So these things are thrown light.
Mm.
So when I ask, so what are your expectations from her?
Mm.
And the woman's like, what? He has expectations. I am everything. I am everything he's got. Yeah, he's the luckiest. He's the luckiest man. You shouldn't have experimented. Forget, he's not God. You shouldn't have. That sort of, you shouldn't have, you know, he mustn't have. These things also give me, as a therapist sitting on the other side of the table, I'm thinking, okay, so this is where the conflicts might begin. She's going to take an upper hand, or he's going to take an upper hand. I've given her everything. What does she want? But have you given her your time? What does she want? Exactly. That's why we are here. What are her expectations?
Exactly. I think saying everything without really knowing what that everything is. So some people, it's just maybe a roof over your head. I buy you food. I give you a kid. And like, you know,
exactly.
People feel like that's the end
so,
of it.
Basically, expectations bring in from very simple things. That's what therapy will revolve around. So we will talk about expectations probably for 2-3 sessions. And they will say, I can't think, I'm running out of, you know. So outside therapy, when you both spend time, talk about these things. These are important when you're going to get married. These are the most important things. Throw in, you know, hypothetical situations. I'm coming home late. I'm coming home late from work and we have a child and you reach home early, but you know, your mom is there. I'm not talking about, we can talk about anybody, okay? The husband or the wife, anyone. But I'm getting questioned by your parent asking, why is your husband or why is your wife coming late when you have a child? What is this that y'all do? Throw hypothetical situations.
Yeah.
Know what they have in mind. That's when you will see, communication, that's the second thing. All right, so first thing is expectation. Second thing is communication. How you communicate with your partner. What are the values and morals that you have? So expectations will give us, now you have a flow chart, all right? Expectations will give us morals and values. These will come only with communication. All right, and when you have communication as your base, you are building a stronger relationship because you know how you speak with each other. You know how you know, you're going to tackle one particular situation. You have no qualms about opening up to your partner. Most of the time I say, oh, I can't talk about this with my husband. I can't talk about this. If I talk about this, oh my God, we will not talk to each other for weeks together.
Yeah, so...
That's when you need to know, okay, how am I supposed to convey this message? That's where communication comes into picture. It's not about where or what you are telling. It's about how you are delivering that message. When a woman can think about delivering a message when she's pregnant so beautifully, why can't everything be done so beautifully? Right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. When that can be special, everything is special between both of you. So cherishing that particular relationship or bond comes with communication. When is the communication strengthened? When you know your expectations.
Right.
Nice.
Okay. And the third thing will be assurance.
Very important. Yeah.
I will stand on whatever I said. I know what you want. Now we're going reverse, all right? I know, I've listened, I've heard whatever you said. I know what you want. I will stand by it. And I don't just stop there. I tell them, even if it is reassuring.
Yeah.
Even if it takes your life out of you. If that is necessary. If you love this person. If you want your marriage. If you want that person. Go ahead, reassure.
That's true. I think we had that conversation just recently. I mean, not very recently, about something that we sort of had an issue with prior to getting married, and how he had said he had to take a stand to do certain things because it was reassuring. And it was something that he communicated to me only much later on. And to me, like when I thought about it post that, I was like, that was such an important thing to have done. I didn't know he thought about it as much as,
yeah.
I thought it was sort of forced and he felt like it. But at the end of it, when he spoke to me about it and explained, like, it's not just about me feeling forced to do it. It's just something that I wanted to do because I knew this was more important. Yeah. So I think it sort of ties back into the expectation, the assurance, the communication, how important that was. Just
these three factors run any relationship. I'm talking about any relationship. It can be parent and child. It can be, you know, child to parent. It can be couples. It can any relationship. These three factors run a relationship.
Yeah, for sure, I need relief.
Because as your child is growing, you want to, will you not tell them, I love you. Mama's going to always be with you. Dada is always there for you. Say the same thing.
Yeah, no, that's...
Don't underestimate this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we tend to do a lot. I mean, not that we take it for granted, but you feel like I've said it once and you don't need to remind people. I don't know why we don't need to. We should.
And like you said, very well put, Divya. But I've had people saying, oh, I reassure, but you know what my wife says? Why are you telling me so many times? I know it, right?
So I think it's a joke, but like... Reassuring, like in my own ways, but I think I'm reassuring. We joke about it. There might be people who are doing it like seriously, but like
I understand because that wit is important as well.
Yeah,
that wit is important.
Yeah, long, get that
as long as y'all get it. I'm not sitting that side of the table right now. But as long as y'all get the wit, it's fine. But again, when you say it over and over again and. It also say, I've had a lady saying, I'm busy, okay? Throughout the day, I'm busy. I'm cooking, I'm taking care of children, I'm dropping them to school, I'm doing my work, I'm coming back. And my husband walks in very, very nicely into the kitchen and says, you know how much I love you? She's like, yeah, I know. What is it that you want?
Because you always feel like there's an ulterior motive.
He tells me, see? I told her I love you. This is what she wants. I've told her. And she's not accepting it. And then she looks at me and she's like, ma'am, you tell me. Isn't there a timing for it? Isn't there a timing for it? I am busy cooking, changing diapers and running to school, picking up one child, being and he comes up to me very nicely.
So sorry.
And she's like, I can't, emote in the same way. So I had to tell, find that space where both of you are in the same emotional state. This is where dates come into picture.
Right. We need like that time where like you are in the same space. You're very right. I mean, we used to try to do like date nights more often, not as much as we were doing it.
Sure.
But yeah, for sure. I feel like that's a reminder for us as well. I feel like this is like a session.
Yeah, I think
the two of us. This is
I think she's going to start charging us.
I was just looking at the time. I'm like, okay, how many minutes did I speak? And what's the tax that you need to pay? But yeah.
No, but yeah, I think it's a reminder also that you can sort, as much as we're coming to you or people are coming to you, there are things that you have to do on your own. So what I think the notion that people have about coming in as a couple for therapy is that what you do in therapy and what they tell you is basically resolving your problem. And you go back home and you put in no effort to sort it out.
No.
That's a lot of people's assumption about what it is, that you go there and that's that hour or 45 minutes and they're fixing your problem bit by bit. I don't think people realize that there's a lot of work.
Something they don't know, we give them homework. Mm-hmm. All right, so we give them homework. And often homeworks are tasks.
Okay. Can you give us examples of the tasks?
So there was this couple who never spoke with each other for 3 months straight.
Wow.
I said, how did you do it?
Yeah.
Tell me. I need pointers. What a quiet house that would be.
Yeah.
And... to get to the depth of the situation, they had a child.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine the child noticing all this. What is the child going through? What is he or she learning?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the effect on everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And so I brought them both down. I sat them down. I said, why don't you want to talk? So both of them had the same thing. Like, the minute we speak, it just breaks into an argument. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we understand that. Why is that argument happening? Why? First point, they're holding on to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, whatever happened in the past or whatever is happening or happened 3 months back. Maybe a major issue that's, hit them so badly that they've stopped talking to each other. So the task that was given to them is maintaining a diary.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On your coffee table, you will have a diary or any place where both of you are comfortable. You will have a diary. You will start communicating.
Hmm.
Whatever it is. What time are you going to work and what time will you come back?
Okay.
I'm going to come back in so-and-so time. Now, what I have started, or what we, this task particularly focuses on, is closed-ended questions. When I say closed-ended, it's, I'm sure you know what's closed-ended. So how are you? I'm fine. That's it. It's good. So tell me more about you, Nitin. That's an open-ended question. You will start telling more about, yeah, so I studied in, you know, this so-and-so school, and I have so many siblings. I have, so it goes on and on, on and on. But what I prefer to do is giving them closed-ended questions. Because when you start with closed-ended questions, there is somewhere possibility of having an open-ended question.
And then you open up the dialogue.
And then you open up the dialogue. How long will you write that open-ended question? Nobody will have that. Okay, I might as well tell you. So this has been happening, and this is, you know.
Yeah.
And you're living in a house. Obviously, that possibility is there. So that eventually happened. All right, that eventually happened. So you're sitting in that room and working for 8 hours straight. You're not even coming and eating with, you know, us. You know, our son or our daughter is here, our child is here, and they're watching you. Why don't you come out? And so there was a dialogue at one point of time. Whether it went to an argument or not is not the matter. So coming back to your question, we give them tasks, we give them homeworks. So therapy doesn't end right there in that session. So you come to me with a, I'm not that person with a parrot who's telling you, pick this card and you go there and that's it, it's done. You know, it's not that.
Yes.
It's not that. It's not just fixing something. It's working towards fixing that. The process is what matters. And the process needs to be feasible for both. In a way that it doesn't affect you emotionally. In a way it doesn't affect you mentally, behaviorally. And these things our family and friends will not give. So coming back to again the main question, this is the reason why we need to, you know, head to therapy.
Okay, to sort of wrap things up, not to go off on a negative tangent, but there are also couples, and I don't think it should be looked at in a negative way, where they come to therapy and things don't work out, like that one instance that you gave us.
Yeah.
How do we sort of normalize that? Because people think that fixing a problem is what success is. But I was reading about how somebody explained that success is also, I mean, I'm just going to say it, a relationship ending can be successful as well, because it was the wrong relationship to start off with. And we all make those mistakes. We can. How do we sort of normalize that, or how can you sort of explain that better to somebody who's probably coming to you, but it's not going to work out? When I say work out, I don't want to really use the word work out, but how do you see
okay.
that?
So, sometimes when you let's say most of the couples are in a relationship by force, it happens sometimes because of family pressure, family reputation. This is the main thing in India, all right? Family reputation. Oh my God, what are people going to talk about my father and mother when I don't go through a good marriage?
It's unfortunate, but true.
Yes, it's very true. And this happens mostly, you know, in a closed communities where, you know, people are very close-knit, let's say, joint families and things like that, where you are questioned half the time, are you, what happened? Why are you both not talking? Why are you both not coming down for dinner or lunch? Why is your food going up to your room? You know, certain subtle mannerisms that family will pick up and go on, you know, poking at you and asking you for explanation when you don't want to explain. It's not that every couple who walk in will go out happy. Creating that mental space where they allow themselves to decide what they want is what therapy gives you.
Yeah.
Most of them don't have the courage. They will not have the courage to say, you know what, I don't like this about you. I've never liked this about you. Forget I don't like. Forget I don't like. I never liked this about you. But I laughed it off. And that was my defense mechanism. Laughing it off was my defense mechanism. But I could never tell this. I'm telling it to you today. And that courage, that sort of, you know, blowing it out in that safe space, creates amazing stuff as when they go back home. Either they will sit down and have a word with each other. They will talk to each other, wanting to be with each other or not wanting to be with. It will create, that space will actually create, a sense of decision-making capacities.
Okay.
They will actually understand, you know what? That one particular line gave me a clarity whether I have to be in this or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's simple things that create a relationship. And that simple thing is also holding back.
Mm-hmm.
It's holding you back so much that you're not able to give 100%.
Yeah.
So completely the decision is the couple's.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they want to go ahead or not. But how and when and what you're going to do about it is what therapy gives you, that sort of, insight into all this. Insight into all this. Where they know that, you know what, yeah, I have been hanging on to this relationship, even if I don't want it. I want to hang on to this relationship even after all this. Two parallels.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You get it, right?
Yes.
So there's a lot of emotional breakage that's happening, mental breakage that's happening. Behaviorally, they'll have so many things to go back home and do, so many things. So it's a lot of work, but any couple who is looking to put in that effort, the effects are going to be amazing. The pros and cons, anything. I mean, the end result, if they find a dead end in their relationship, that's when, okay, let's head to therapy. Let it be your last resort, but go for therapy. Give it a shot. Because all you're trying to get is an insight into what your relationship is. Maybe something that y'all are not seeing. Maybe something that the therapist is able to see and tell you. This is exactly where, the communication or the expectations or the, assurance that's not happening or plain respect. There's no respect. There's a lot of disrespect. Morals, values, listening and hearing. Oh, I'm talking. My husband seems to be listening, but he's not listening. He wasn't listening. He was hearing.
Yeah, that's a common thing I think I hear with a lot of women who just say
he wasn't hearing.
Yeah.
He wasn't listening.
Yeah.
He was hearing.
Yeah.
But let the song play. Let my favorite song play. I'm listening to that song. I'm barely hearing you speak, Divya. So the difference between hearing and listening is also not understood. When people come to me, they're like, oh, but it's the same thing. I'm like, no. No, it's not the same. So give that focus, give that attention, that concentration. When your partner is speaking, are you giving that focus? So all this happens in therapy. Details. Certain details that y'all don't look at, we look at.
Thank you so much. I think it's sort of shed light on it to break away from the perception that we have of it just on in the movies and what we hear from other people. Because it's not just about coming and seeing you or any therapist for that matter. It's about working on yourself while they see you. I think it's just a reminder to people that that goes hand in hand. You can't go to a professional and think they're going to fix you. You have to go in knowing that you have to do as much work.
Yes, there's a lot of work.
Right, exactly. Because I think people just think, again, it's like a doctor.
Yes.
You go to the clinical psychologist, like they'll fix you and you leave.
Yes, I have my prescriptions. It's just not tablets. It's just tasks and homeworks that I'll give you.
So thank you so much for
doing
this.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great. Thank you, Nitin. Thank you, Divya.
So stay tuned for the next episode. We will be covering more topics like these that are important. And we'll see you in the next one.